prison. The master of yoga found, you said, that fatigue resulting from moving the body here and there is appreciated by the left perception. But actually, there is no fatigue. It simply exists as a matter of formality.
By such inquiries and answers, no one can come to the conclusion of the absolute truth. Because of your presentation of this statement, my mind is a little disturbed. Formal inquiries and answers about the bodily conception do not constitute knowledge of the absolute truth. Knowledge of the absolute truth is quite different from the formal understanding of bodily pains and pleasures. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna informs Arjuna that the pains and pleasures experienced in relation to the body are temporary. They come and go. One should not be disturbed by them, but should tolerate them and continue with spiritual realization. Expound. Brahmana vacha ayam janonama chalan pitiyam yakpartivakpartivakasyaneto yasyapi changyoradibhulpajanga janonumadyora shirodhansa Amisedi bhagi shivita chayasyam Savira raje tupadesha haste Yasmin bhavan huda vija vimano Raja smi sindhu shittidur madanda. Translation. The self-realized Brahman Jadbharat said, among the various material combinations and permutations, there are various forms and earthly transformations. For some reason, these move on the surface of the earth and are called palanquin carriers. Those material transformations which do not move are gross material objects, like stones. In any case, the material body is made of earth and stone, in the form of feet, ankles, calves, knees, thighs, torso, throat, and head. Upon the shoulders is the wooden palanquin, and within the palanquin is the so-called king of Salvira. The body of the king is simply another transformation of earth. But within that body, your lordship is situated, and falsely thinking that you are the king of the state of Saurira. Purport. After analyzing the mature bodies of the palanquin carrier and the palanquin passenger, Jadbhara concludes that the real living force is the living entity. The living entity is the offshoot or offspring of Lord Vishnu. Therefore, within this material world, among moving and non-moving things, the real principle is Lord Vishnu. Due to his presence, everything is working, and there are actions and reactions. One who understands Lord Vishnu as the original cause of everything is to be understood, to be perfectly situated in knowledge. Although he was falsely proud of being a king, King Rahugana was not really situated in knowledge. Therefore, he was rebuking the palanquin carriers, including the self-realized Brahman Jadbhara. This is the first accusation Jadbhara made against the king, who was daring to talk to a learned Brahmin from the flimsy grounding of ignorance, identifying everything with matter. King Rahugana argued that the living entity is within the body, and when the body is fatigued, the living entity within must therefore be suffering. It is clearly explained in the following verses that the living entity does not suffer due to the body's fatigue. Krishna Chakravarti gives an example of a child heavily decorated with ornaments. Although the child's body is very delicate, he does not feel fatigue, nor do the parents think that his ornaments should be taken away. The living entity has nothing to do with bodily pains and pleasures. These are simply mental concoctions. An intelligent man will find the original cause of everything. Material combinations and permutations may be a matter of fact in worldly dealings, but actually the living force, the soul, has nothing to do with them. Those who are materially upset take care of the body and manufacture Dharidra Narayan, poor Narayan. However, it is not a fact that the soul is... However, it is not a fact that the soul or super soul becomes poor simply because the body is poor. These are the statements of ignorant people. Soul and super soul are always apart from bodily pleasure and pain. Om Jnanamanandasya Viranjanashalakaya Chakshuramitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manohistam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupagiram Ayam Dadati Svapadantikam Mukham Kartiva Chalam Pangumam Gaiti Girim Yatripadam Vande Sri Guru Dinataranam Paramananda Bhagavam Sri Chaitanyeshwaram Panchakalpatu Vishcha Kripa Sivyecha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Maha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaurabhaktavrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. The blessing from all the Vaishnavas. We thank you for giving me this opportunity to serve you, speaking to Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam Puranam Amalamya Vaishnavanam Priyam. Srimad Bhagavatam is the topmost literature, and thus it is very dear to all the Vaishnavas. Now, here, this is a continued conversation. Maharaj Gahugana had not completely been able to grasp the teachings of Jagbharat because they were on a very high level and very concise. Spiritual teachers sometimes speak in sutras or one-liners. They make short, concise points, and sometimes the living entities are not able to grasp them. We find this is happening over and over in Srimad Bhagavatam, like also in the story of King Prachina Parisha, who is also not able to understand in the first running what was being said. So, the spiritual teachers are very compassionate. You can see here, Jagbharat, he had been silent for a few lifetimes. And now when he started speaking, it was on a very high level and it was very concise. So the king was not able to immediately connect the dots. Why? Because the element of humility was lacking. He was a king, and to be a king, you have to know many things. There's a lot of pious credits that are involved in becoming a king. But if the element of humility is missing, then we can see that he's not able to immediately grasp what is Jagbhara talking about here. So, we can see from this incident, from this story, that it is not about how much we know, but it is whether we can combine our knowledge through humility. If knowledge is not combined with humility, then compassion does not arise. There's so many people in this world who know so many things. In fact, there's countless books, there's countless libraries, there's terabytes of information out there. And even we are very anxious and eager to acquire some of that knowledge, some of that information. But if we cannot combine it with humility, then it will simply result, like in Maharaj Gahugana, the king riding in a palanquin, carrying the load of a heavy crown on his head. That knowledge will not be of much use to us, like a heavy crown on the head. So this humility, where does it come from? Where does it originate? It means to actually be aware of our own position as living entities. We are tapasta. Tapasta is the marginal energy of the Lord. Tapasta is that line where the sea or the water meets the land. That line is always moving. It is not a fixed line. It is a very thin line. So that's why we're always moving. And depending on how much we are attracted by either the Lord or by His energy, then we become influenced, become under the influence of either one or the other. Now here in the purport, Srila Prabhupada writes about the Mayavadis and the impersonalists who subscribe to the Haridranarayan philosophy. For us in the West, this may be more commonly known as altruism, philanthropy, doing good to others, all based on the bodily concept of life, that if you help someone's body, if you help someone's mind, they will be fine. And it is a good thing in the sense of it is the right thing to do, but it is incomplete. Why is it incomplete? Because it is not connected to the Lord. Because these people think that simply doing good to others is the complete work. It is the fulfillment of our obligation, of our duty. But simply acting in a mode of goodness does not liberate the living entity. Muktir, Kagetarupam, Svarupen, Amirastiti. This mukti, this liberation, can only be given through the performance of spiritual practice, of devotional service. Yenyera vindaksha vimukta maninas, vayasta vishuddha buddhaya, aluya kriya shirena, parama padama patata, patantyado nagrita, yusma, angraya. Because these Mayavadis, these impersonalists and philanthropists, they have failed to develop an attraction for the loving service of the Lord. Again, they come down to the platform of mundane activities, which basically means simple activities. Even if one is pious, there is always a tinge, there is always a mixture of impiety. Like we can see, people are going to their religious institutions to do good. But what are they doing 5 or 6 days a week to make that money that they're going to, part of it, donate to their temple, church, or mosque? There's a lot of sinful activity involved. In fact, it is explained, it is like the bathing of an elephant. An elephant which goes and takes bath and then comes out and again puts all the dust, all the earth on its back. So it is not useful. This form of atonement, this form of process is rejected by people who are actually interested in spiritual salvation. So here, Maharaj Rahugana is saying in the first verse that because in presentation of this statement, my mind is a little disturbed. He was not able to actually access the information. His mind became disturbed, confused, because Jadbhard had spoken about that the body is not actually tired. That the soul, that the body is made seem to be tired as a formality, but the soul never is actually tired. This was confusing to the king. Just like we can see when Ramadev met Rikasura in outer space, and he told him, whoa, whoa, where are you going? Rikasura was chasing after Shiva to try to touch his head. And he said, don't you know that the body is the dearest thing that you have? Why are you so anxious and working so hard? Take some rest. Relax for a while. Have some khichdi. We should actually start serving khichdi up here. I think we could greatly increase the attendance in Srimad Bhagavatam class. So some of our managers, maybe we can institute this. Maybe we can have a little snack bar, a little serve out, you know. Would you like that? Anybody favoring that? Okay. Okay, so since this is democracy, so from now on, all the khichdi will be served out up here. And in this way, you know, but it's really good to make this speaker humble, because you come in here at 7:45 and no one's here, you know. Not even the video guy. And then you think, is this the wrong place or the wrong time or the wrong menu? And then you look out the window, it's khichdi day. And they sit down in long rows, and there is a great deal of enthusiasm, even more enthusiasm than in Guru Puja. So, we can see that if we want to connect with our audience, we have to speak about topics that are relevant and that are dear to the heart of the listener. Otherwise, we may be saying things that are right. We may be saying things that are smart. Saying things that are very beautiful. But if they're not touching the heart of the audience, then you fail to make that point. Srila Prabhupada had so many godbrothers who were great scholars, who were pure devotees, were very advanced in the science of Bhakti Yoga. But none of them could connect with the people outside of India, even though many tried. But when Srila Prabhupada went to New York, he went and he took up residence in one of the most materialistic cities, in one of the most degraded places on the planet Earth. And I just heard this morning from Hamsa Rupa Prabhu, who was doing night shift in 55th Henry Street Temple, Brooklyn, actually it was Manhattan. And they had a big skyscraper building, and he was doing the night shift there. Have you been to that place? Yeah. And in the night, you know, when it's cold in the winter, sometimes bums used to come and knock on the door, and they would give him a plate of prasadam. So in one of those nights, also, a person was knocking on the door, and he opened the door, and it was a person very poorly dressed, smelly, and so he just handed him a plate of prasadam. The person said, Hare Krishna. So, he said, okay, yes, some people may know us, so they have two blocking doors. So anyway, he let him in the first door and started talking with him. So the person had to play the prasadam and he asked, is Prabhupada here? I want to see Prabhupada. Now this was in the winter of 77 to 78. Prabhupada had just left. So I told him, no, Prabhupada had left the world just a few months ago. That person was very heartbroken. He was very, very much aggrieved. So he asked him, who are you? Because, you know, sometimes devotees or other people are around. So he said, my name is Robert Nelson. Now, for those of you who have read the Lilamrita, you may have read a few stories about Robert Nelson. Robert Nelson is the person who was practically the only companion of Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was living with Dr. Misha in the west side. Not in the east side, in the lower east side, where he later on was, in the west side, at Dr. Misha's studio. Prabhupada had one companion, and that was Robert Nelson. Robert Nelson was a warden of the state. He was a little slow. He was mentally challenged. And he had a hard life, and he was very addicted to cigarette smoking. He was a heavy chain smoker. But he practiced yoga, and he would take such a liking to Prabhupada that, like a faithful dog, he would go wherever Prabhupada went. So when Prabhupada got his own place, Robert Nelson carried his mattress. And Robert Nelson got in the clock. And he was Prabhupada's one and only at that time. So, as they were standing in the foyer, he was telling all these stories to Hamsa Rupa Prabhu. So that always shows it does pay off if you do the night shift. Sometimes Krishna descends you some very intense nectar. So, and then later on he got into difficulty and he was living on the street and he had a very rough life. But because he was so much touched by the compassion, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, he always continued his practice of Krishna consciousness. He tried to live in the temple, but it was almost impossible for him because of his habit of chain smoking. Later on, he actually gave up his smoking and he even got initiated by then the Prabhupada Swami. And he continued the practice of Krishna consciousness till he passed away from this world. So, many people who came in contact with Srila Prabhupada remarked that Prabhupada had no airs about himself. He had what we call in English, he had no attitude. And that's why people could connect with him. Even Rob Scully, who organized the Avalon Ballroom in San Francisco, that big concert as a benefit for the San Francisco Hare Krishna Temple, he remarked that everybody thought Prabhupada is one of us. Even the Oakland Hells Angels, the biker gang, they thought Prabhupada is one of us. Everybody had that feeling. Prabhupada is one of us. Why? because there's no false ego. There's no false ego. There's actual, utter humility. And coming from where I come from, that sounds like something very shocking, something very, really no false ego, like no pretension, no expectations, ready to just be there for whatever person, for whatever situation, to give them Krishna consciousness. Jadvarat was such a person. This is the first time he started speaking, because Krishna in his heart told him, this is the person giving the mercy. And he actually liberated him from his ignorance. Because ignorance is a serpent that bites us. And when the poison acts, it becomes impossible to see what is what. And only when you take this antidote of the hearing and chanting, the topics of Krishna, then can we become cured from this poison of ignorance. The serpent is continuously lurking and trying to bite us at every opportune moment. So, by hearing the wonderful activities of Krishna and his devotees, and the association of devotees, this will cure us from this poison, from this disease. When Krishna was entering Mathura, and with his coward boys, he met a washerman who was carrying many beautiful clothes on his arms. So Krishna told him, "Oh, these are nice clothes. Why don't you give us some of these? You know, me and my friends, we like to dress up." And the washerman, you know, being a washerman is not a very prestigious situation in society. But because he was very proud, he explained, "Who are you? How you dare try to ask for these clothes? Don't you know this is the king's property? If I want, I can have you arrested. Just see what I can do." Krishna nonchalantly, with a flick of his lotus hand, he just looked off the head of the watching man and liberated him. It's the original martial arts where Krishna had him, and the head went flying. Krishna just picked up some of the clothes and Balaram and the power boys, and then he dressed himself up very nicely with these clothes. And then, as they passed along the path, they came upon Sudama, the flower garland maker. And he was very happy to see Krishna and Balaram and the power boys. And he made special garlands for each one of them, which would match their clothes, their attire. He was so happy. So Krishna gave him his mercy. But Sudama, he prayed to Krishna and said, Please grant me this one benediction that I do not become proud, that I can have friendship with the devotees, that I can have compassion for all living entities. Please grant me this." So, humility is not a side factor. It is a very core component of devotional service. And we get faced with the challenge of humility or the lack of humility on a daily basis. I was just in Vrindavan, and the person came and asked me, "Would you like to give Bhagavatam class?" And I said, "Sure. If you want, I'll give." So he gave me a verse number in the day. And you know how it is. You prepare and you think, what will I speak about? And then in the morning, when we were supposed to give class, doing normal Aarti, that person came up to me and tapped me on the shoulder. And I knew what was coming, but my false ego didn't like it. He said, "Prabhu, you know, one Maharaj, his servant has asked if he can give class. So I'm really sorry." I know this person was in a job because so I said, thank you for liberating me from my false ego, from my pretension. And then throughout the whole day, I was watching my mind. How was my mind reacting? How was my mind taking this while I was sitting in class and listening to this woman? Okay. You know, eating my humble pie, spoon after spoon after spoon. And it's hard. It's hard. Because you know that this is the medicine and this is what I need. But I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't like it. So, when you hear humility, you think, yeah, I heard this before, okay, you know. Anything else, you know, anything new? Some other stories. The Papa was very expert in this. To find one weak point and to stick his finger there. And to just push and push and push till the argument. Prabhupada didn't push the person. He just knocked over the argument so that the person could see, liberated the person from their ignorance. The same way Krishna is giving us again and again these clues, is giving us these insights, which are very precious. The Lord is very compassionate, like his devotee. The Lord is traveling with a living entity throughout all the 8,400,000 species of life. The Lord is our only companion. Everybody's thinking, oh, where is my friend? Where is my soulmate? Where is my alter ego? Where is that person that can make me complete? We're all looking. And you don't find him. But Krishna, he's there. He's in our heart. He's our companion. He's our true friend. He's our well-wisher. He's ready to guide us. He's ready to give us all knowledge, all strength, and all forgetfulness, if that's what's required, just to bring us closer to him. So to acknowledge Krishna's friendship and Krishna's superiority, because as the Upanishad stated, two birds sitting on the tree. One is busy eating fruits, some sweet, some sour. And one bird is Atmarama, is self-satisfied. Is just watching, just overseeing, and giving guidance. That's Krishna. So Krishna is ready to give us all his insights. But if our knowledge is not matched with humility, compassion cannot arise. And if compassion is lacking, we cannot reach the heart of the person. We can't even reach our own heart. It will just be like water on the back of a duck. Why is Prabhupada saying in the purport of the verse, patience of the Bhagavatam, Bhajatam, Kutukurukam, the Dami Vidyogantam, the Enamamukhayam? He's saying, you might be in a spiritual organization, you might be following the process, you might be doing everything right, but you still cannot connect the dots. You're not really getting the essence, you're not really figuring out what's going on here, why? Because that component of humility that creates compassion is missing. But if we are sincere, if we're actually sincere, then the Lord within our hearts will give us whatever is lacking. So the process of Harinam Sankirtan is the process for this yuga, for this age, to invoke the mercy, the blessing of the Lord, to shower upon us this wonderful quality of compassion that is so attractive. When you hear the stories of Prabhupada giving his mercy to Robert Nelson, a person that was not wealthy, a person that was not famous, a person that was not important, Prabhupada went to New York. He did not get a marketing consultant. He did not make a campaign
just sat in Kapanik and chanted Hare Krishna. And because of his simplicity, his sincerity, and his full surrender to Krishna, Krishna gave him tremendous success. And nowadays we can see so many people have so many strategies and so many different types of ventures. But if they're not based on humility and on compassion, they cannot sustain. Just like wealth. If a person gets wealth, but it is not by pious means or by honest deeds, that wealth usually is lost very quickly. And even if it is a traditional wealthy family, if they stop doing sacrifice, then within 3 generations, their wealth is spoiled. It's the grandfather, the father, and the son. And after that, it's finished. In the same way, you can see in spiritual organizations, if the element of compassion and true humility is lacking, then it cannot sustain. If it is based on ego, if it is based on simple charisma, that people like somebody because that person is very likable, then it cannot sustain. So if we want to become recipients of Srila Prabhupada's compassion, and in fact become instruments of that compassion, then also inspire and enthuse others through Srila Prabhupada's compassion, then this quality of humility is not something that you can neglect. It is an essential component. Just like here in Mayapur, the person, name was Sridhar, but everybody just knew him as Kolavita, the banana seller. Most people didn't know him by his name, Sridhar. They knew him by his occupation. He's the banana guy. Like if the coconut guy on the road, does anybody know what his name is? Does anybody sell his coconut? But people think, oh, that's the bicycle guy and the sabji guy and, you know, the lady who sells the flower garlands. You know that lady that comes up to you in any place and she speaks the flower garland real quick? And even though I've told her no, I don't remember how many times. But she's my guru. Why? She doesn't give up. And she's always smiling. Any function I go, I went to Madhura Sankranti, there was a little festival in the Ganga. And she was there, sticking her flower garland in my face. And I was thinking, oh, very much, thank you, Mother Jesus. Look, you. So, Sridhar, when he got called by Mahaprabhu and Sridhar Sangam, he was outside paying obeisances. The people called him. Now, Sridhar, when Nimai was going to his house to bargain with him, every day, for at least 1 hour, he would bargain with him. Say, Sridhar, your bananas are no good. It's very poor quality. I'll give you half the price. But Sridhar was very compassionate. So he did not want to cause pain to his customers. So he only marked up very slightly, just the least bit so he could survive. Not what we would do, right? Like you can see, you have your commodities, whatever it is. No, he would just give it so that he could survive. And with half of what he made, he would worship Mother Ganga. So, Mahaprabhu said, Nimai said, actually today I will not pay you anything. And he just grabbed it and ran away. She said, what is this? He's stealing. He's just robbing me. In the broad daylight. But he's so attractive. He's so beautiful. And every day he would come. One day he came and said, Sridhar, you're an imposter. You're a rascal. You're a cheater. She said, what? He said, you're the most wealthy person in the whole of Nadia. In this whole Navadvip district, you're the most wealthy person. Just look at me. My clothes have holes. I live in a hut. There's no food.
words, and very soon I will expose you. If you're an imposter, you're just cheating everybody. You're the most wealthy person. So, when he was performing his pastimes, Mahaprakash, in the house of Shiva's Thakur, sitting on the throne of Vishnu, and he was giving blessings and benedictions to all the devotees, he called Sridhar, and he said, Sridhar, ask me for any benediction. And Sridhar said, my Lord, I'm happy. I'm satisfied. He said, no, I can give you wealth or kingdom. I can give you liberation. I can give you mystic cities. He said, I don't want any of that. I'm chanting your name. I'm free. Mahaprabhu, he said, it's not for you, it's for myself. I want to give you something. It will make me happy. But she doesn't say, okay. If it makes you happy, I will accept. So what is it that Sridhar wanted? He said, wherever you appear, in whichever place, I want to be that person who can supply you with bananas and leaves and fruits. And I want you to come and steal from me. Do we want to be Robert Nelson? Do we want to be that guy who carries Prabhupada's rug, who carries Prabhupada's mattress, who brings Prabhupada a clock? When I see the Kirti Prabhu, when I see these Prabhus who have given their lives, I get goosebumps just knowing that they've given up everything. They've given up the conception of what they wanted, of who they were, of where they wanted to go in life. They surrendered right there on the spot. And here I am, going through the motions. But I'm not biting the bullet. I'm avoiding. Another year has passed, and I have not surrendered. So, this is my class for 2014. Next class will be 2015. So I hope that by the blessings of the Vaishnavas, I can work on this. This is my homework, to become humble, because only humility is actually attracting the Lord. When Prithu Maharaj came and he instructed Dhruva, he told him that to treat others with tolerance, mercy, friendship, and equality, that makes the Lord very satisfied. Then the Lord becomes attractive. And then one becomes liberated from all gross and subtle material conditions. If we're still feeling cold, if we're still feeling hungry, if we're still feeling lonely, if we're still feeling disturbed, or distract her. This is the remedy. You want to hear it again? I have to write it down because I have put too many shortcuts in my head for the last few weeks, so now my short-term memory has become a little affected. So, treat all others with tolerance, mercy, friendship, and equality. Then the Lord becomes satisfied. Now, why is it that tolerance is always the first component? Titshava Perunika, Srida Sanadehina, tolerance. And it seems like tolerate, okay, I tolerate. Okay, I'm tolerating you, alright? Are you happy? I don't feel it. Okay, I'm tolerating. You feel like it's not something, right? It's not something that spectacular. I'm doing it for myself. But why is tolerance so important? Because attitude is everything. If our attitude is off, even though we know our stuff, as we say, it rubs people the wrong way. It's like you rub a cat the wrong way. Have you ever tried? Did the cat ever stay with you? Did the cat gonna like you? No. In the same way, you may say, I do everything right, but we're rubbing the wrong way. If we cannot develop this tolerance. And Mayapur is a wonderful place to develop tolerance. That's why I love Mayapur. Because it teaches me what I ordinarily would take very long time to learn. It comes with the package. It just comes with the territory. So the Dham is very special. And all the residents of the Dham, the activities that go on in the Dham, is very special. So I thank all the Vaishnavas for tolerating me over all this time, not just now, but and let us meditate on this compassion. Compassion of Jagbhara, compassion of Srila Prabhupada. For it is compassion that makes a difference in this world. Hare Krishna. Any questions or equality is on a spiritual platform. You see that all living entities are parts and parcels of Krishna, and thus they're all equal. Then, of course, according to the situation, to the position, the situation that you're in, you do differentiate between a tiger and a cobra and an elephant and an envious person and a devotee, and there's different categories of devotees. But still, still, we should see the spiritual element in every person, and we should appreciate and respect and serve every person, of course, according to their position and according to their situation, but to see that equality is important. Because if you only see the difference, then it is a mundane vision. Then it's friends and enemies. And if you only see the oneness, then that's impersonalism. It's my heart. It's everything's one. Everybody's equal. So both are incomplete. Achintya Veda Veda Tattva. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave us the complete understanding. Compassion means that you actually care. I asked one of my friends in Bombay, and he said, the difference between a quack and an actual good doctor is that a doctor actually feels the pain of the patient. In other words, a sadhu, he can actually connect with the situation of the person that he's relating to. And connecting doesn't mean in an expedient way, okay, what can I get from this fellow? But where is this person at? What does this person need? And how can I benefit? How can I help this person to get what they need? That is compassion. And true compassion means to see everything in relation to the Lord. So even when we give people to Shalom, we may give them medical, we may give them information, we give them books, we give them so many services, we see that this is to bring them closer to Krishna. It's not just to, okay, I've got 1 point more, or more money, or I've done my job, I feel good about myself now. But we actually do it with the understanding that I want to bring this person closer to Krishna. Because this is what Krishna wants. This is Krishna's desire. That is actual compassion. Otherwise, it's limited, and it will not go very far. And it's not very satisfying, not for us and not for that person. But if we see the connection, and we actually act in such a way, then it becomes a very satisfying experience. Nowadays, we try to do so many things, and some work, some don't work so great. But Hare and Sankirtan always works. Why is it? Because it's actually showing the compassion of the Lord in a way that's accessible, that's very much appreciable for the people. So that is why we're here in Mayapur, absorbing the nectar of the Dham and all these courses, so we can become filled with this mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Which is whoever you are, wherever you are, just tell people about Krishna. Share your realization, your appreciation of Krishna with them. And in this way, we become an instructing spiritual master to the people of your land. Thank you very much. All those who have felt that. Srila Bhagavatam ki, Adinam Sankirtan ki, Gokarnam.
I'm going to go to the hospital.